welcome to Showtime, Point of Times in God's Eternal Kingdom. Today with us, we have Steve Allen, Pastor Henry Ayala, Pastor John Valero, Tommy Garcia, and Pastor Pat Bannister. And I usually forget this part, but I'm Abe Phoenix. And yeah, it's not because I forget my name. It's because I just forget to say my name.
I usually forget that part too. No.
We're all trying to forget it.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
But you really are unforgettable.
Unforgettable Abe.
Yeah. So, is there somebody you'd like to start off?
I'll just say something. Pastor Henry preached his message on the kingdom transfer and that inheritance. Idea, you know, that God has in the kingdom, and sons and daughters, and what God is doing, and I really am impressed by what the Spirit is doing in terms of showing us, hey, I have something for you. I know the plans that I have for you.
Come on.
And when he talks about David's plans that were inspired by the Holy Spirit, he gave those plans to the next generation.
Absolutely.
So I really see that there's a generational legacy that God is saying, I care about family, I care about the fathers, I care about the sons, I care about generations and what's going to happen in the next generation.
Amen. Come on.
You know, David had hands with blood because he was a warrior. He fought. But Solomon, whose name is Peace, he never saw one day of war in his reign. He ruled in peace, you know. So I just kind
That's
of,
good,
that was just something that from that message, that just began to boil up, I guess.
Amen.
Inside,
come on,
so just praise God for that.
Amen. Praise God.
I want to say something along the same lines of the young people of our nation. And unless you have a family member that that graduated either from high school or from a university or some, unless you have a family member, there's not much attention being placed to graduations this time of the year, where for most of us, you know, if we've ever graduated from even high school or whatever, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And yet, yesterday, I was really blessed. My granddaughter, Santana, graduated from the U of A. Anyway, she did something in her home. And she had invited people through Facebook. It's called Facebook Live. And she did something from her home where she invited like a lot of family, friends from her church, and you know, to participate in this live stream. And she sang a song, she danced. She was joyful in the midst of all this stuff and all the things, the big celebrations that they could participate in, and that wasn't available to them. But there was such a joy. And it's just not my granddaughter. I mean, I've been, because of that, I've been seeing other events and so forth. And I'll tell you what, if this generation can extend that love that's been placed in their hearts, we're in good hands.
Come on, praise God.
And it's all due to just pretty much what we're talking about. You know, it's up to us to show our kids, our grandkids, who we are. Be an example. They can look to us to see, and that they would take on whatever God's given us to their children. But I'll tell you what, the millennials have gotten a bad rep. And yesterday, as far as I'm concerned, I was blessed by seeing what I saw. Amen. My not only my granddaughter, but like I told her, you took a lemon and you made lemonade.
Amen. I see we probably made a mistake in not bringing a box of Kleenexes here with us. Yeah. Praise God, John.
Amen. I'm sorry about that.
My sleeve. Use my sleeve.
Yeah, use my sleeve. Praise God.
Anyway, I could say a lot more, but I am very thankful, not only for my granddaughter, but for all those people that have graduated and that will be leading our country, our churches, and new families. They're going to be having their own children. And so it's okay. We're good. We are good. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You know, I brought you those tissues because I'm worried about the new equipment we have. But
no. Don't do good in the rain.
And actually, I forgot to mention that, that we do have new equipment, thanks to Jonathan Ayala.
Yeah,
man, it's awesome.
Jonathan.
Yeah, thank you. This is awesome. But you know what? I think you brought up a good point. Because, I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, normally we would remember to celebrate other people and some of the things that are happening. So we have to make sure that we're being, I guess, really intentional, that, you know, we're aware of others and what they could be going through.
Amen.
And, you know, things that they could be normally, you know, celebrating but can't. And that, you know, we show that just that extra bit of love just by being intentional, you know, making
Amen.
Sure that we actually think about that other person, that we put effort into it.
Amen. It's good work, man.
Yeah, they put a lot of work into, you know, 4 years of college or high school, whatever it is. And everybody looks forward to that day, you know, when you can toss your hat and change your tassel and it can't be done, you know. And so it's a lot. It takes a lot out of you to not be able to celebrate something that you had looked forward to in all areas.
An accomplishment.
Yeah. And it's a big accomplishment. Yeah. So to all of you graduates, whether you're from a university or from a high school, God loves you. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's great.
From the nursery. Come on.
Amen. You know, I've been thinking a lot about what other people have been going through during this time out, during this reset that we've all had. And I want to encourage everybody that's listening. I know that if we had all of you before us and I asked you the question, we talked about this earlier, has God been speaking to you through this time and giving you direction and turning a light on in a way that you just haven't seen things? I would say that every hand probably goes up. And I wanted to encourage you that if you're in that place where you're seeking God for direction and you're wanting to know His perfect will for your life right now, during this time, open up the Word. Allow the entrance of God's Word to bring forth illumination to your life. In John chapter 7, verse 17, Jesus is talking to his guys, and He said, "My doctrine is not mine, but it's He that sent me. If any man will do," the key here is where we don't see the things that we're hoping for a lot of times because we're not doing. We're not stepping forward into the kingdom in a way that God wants us to. "If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine," whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. If God is asking you to do something, do it.
Amen.
The provisions don't come unless you do. The knowledge about how to do it doesn't come unless you do. So I encourage everyone, if God's impressing upon you to do something, to see the end result,
come on, man.
Step out and go after it.
Amen. That's right. Praise God. Matter of fact, along the lines of doing, it looks like we're planning a soft start on May 31st. So just to let you know that it is coming, and we're going to be preparing for that. And so just letting you know, giving you some information that yes, we are preparing. So
amen.
I'm excited about it too.
We were talking a little bit this morning about Obed-Edom again.
Yes.
In the presence of God. Amen. Resting in his house for 90 days and then before going to Jerusalem. And I believe that the lockdown or the stay-at-home orders began on March, I want to say 21st, 22nd, yeah. Something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Well, if you look, well, man, this is, if you look at the time frame of, say, 90 days from that day, 90 days from that,
yes,
is going to be Father's Day.
Yeah, come on, man.
So there's something inside of that that people are gleaning, but I looked that up because, like, Father's Day is coming up. It's June 21st. It's Father's Day.
Cool,
so speaking of that, you know, fathers and sons, you know, I feel that that's something that God's impressing. And yeah. as I was wondering, you know, what's this going to look like today? What are we going to talk about? Who's going to be listening? What do they need
that's
out
right.
there? You know, and God, I began to read Luke 15. And there's three parables that Jesus talks about in Luke 15. One is about the lost sheep, that he leaves the 99 for the one.
Yes.
He shows the importance of the one. Then the next one, it's the parable of the coins, that the lady loses a coin. She's like, I got to find it. And there's 10, and she finds it, and there's a great celebration.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then there's the one that I call the parable of the redeemed son. We may not know as the prodigal son, but he doesn't stay prodigal. And I'm going to read through that in the Passion Translation. I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to read a good part of it, because just in case there are people out there that don't know the story, and then talk about a few little things about that. So in Luke 15, starting in verse 11, I got to read. Then Jesus said, "Once there was a father with two sons. The younger son came to the father and said, 'Father, don't you think it's time to give me the share of your estate that belongs to me?'" So right there, there's this thought. He says, "Don't you think?" His mind is thinking about things he's seen on the outside.
Yeah.
So he's telling, well, I'm convinced of something. Look, now I'm going to convince my father about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll come back to that. But, so the father went ahead and he distributed among the two sons their inheritance. Shortly afterward, the younger son packed up all his belongings and he traveled off to see the world. He journeyed to a far off land where he soon wasted all he was given in a binge of extravagant and reckless living. With everything spent and nothing left, he grew hungry, for there was severe famine in the land. So he begged a farmer in that country to hire him. The farmer hired him and sent him out to feed the pigs. And in Jewish culture, not only did they not eat pigs, they didn't even raise them. They did not deal with it. So
that's right.
So he was humbled.
Yes.
There's this picture of, hey, I'm at the lowest of the low. Yeah. The son was so famished, he was willing to even eat the slop given to the pigs because no one would feed him a thing. Humiliated, the son finally realized what he was doing, and he thought, there you go, he starts thinking again. "There are many workers at my father's house who have all the food they want with plenty to spare. They lack nothing. Why am I here dying of hunger, feeding these pigs and eating their slop? I want to go back home to my father's house, and I'll say to him," so he's, I'm going to put my resume together, because he's already thinking, hey, the employees, the slaves at my father's house.
You better not.
So he's thinking, not as a son, he's, like I said, preparing his resume. That's kind of how I'd like to put it, but he's, okay, look, this is what I'm going to say. "Father, I was wrong. I have sinned against you. I'll never be worthy to be called your son. Please, Father, Just treat me like one of your employees. So the young man set off for home. From a long distance away, his father saw him coming. He was dressed as a beggar, the son. And with great compassion, it swelled up within the heart of the father for his son, who was returning home. So the father raced out to meet him. He swept him up in his arms, hugged him dearly, and kissed him over and over with tender love. There's a picture of the son coming down the road, dressed as a beggar, it says, filthy, disgusting. In his mind, the son, he's unworthy, and he looks the part. But the father sees him, and he runs, and he embraces him.
Yeah.
Without thinking, he recognizes, and he goes, he recognizes the son. I see this as a picture of what we've in the church. It's like, hey, everybody come to church, come to this place. But first, get cleaned up, take a shower, look respectable. Mm-hmm. There's a perception that the church, and I'm saying in general, I'm not saying this or that church. Yeah. I'm saying in general, you almost have to fit and be accepted in to the club.
That's right.
So that you can join and be a part of this and look like them and smell like them and talk like them. Mm-hmm. And that has pushed people away. But right here we see a picture of a father, and he sees the beggar clothes, and he sees a beaten down, humiliated son still. Mm-hmm. That's what he sees as the son. And he runs out. He doesn't tell him to go get cleaned up or to get washed up first. He embraces him. And he kisses him over and over, and he holds him in his arms. Now the son, he's like, okay, I've rehearsed what I'm gonna say. Here's my resume. Let's go. So it says in verse 21, the son said, Father, I was wrong. I have sinned against you. I could never deserve to be called your son. Just let me be. And the father cuts him off. The father cuts off the resume and the speech that the son has prepared. The father interrupts and he says, son, you're home now. Yeah. You're home now, son.
Come on, man.
Thank you. He turns to his servants. The father turns to his servants and he says, quick, bring me the best robe, my very own robe. And I will place it on his shoulders. Bring me the ring, the seal of sonship. I will put it on his finger. And bring out the best shoes, the best you can find for my son. Let's prepare a great feast and celebrate for this beloved son of mine. Now, he's not just a son. He's beloved.
Yeah.
His identity is restored. His position is restored to him. The father's not doing it for himself. He's reminding his son, hey, you're not an employee. You're a son. And I'm going to restore all that you forfeited.
Amen.
I'm going to restore it. And you're not just a son. You're a beloved son. Let's prepare a great feast and celebrate, for this beloved son of mine was once dead, but now he's alive again. Once he was lost, but now he is found. And everyone celebrated with overflowing joy.
Yeah.
What a picture of the Father. Amen. What a picture of what I believe the church has been called to. I sit not amongst just brothers, but fathers and sons. And I think for me and the journey that I've been in, when I first came to this area of Arizona, to Sarita and met Henry, there was a moment of time that we kind of were settling in with the family and everything. But I felt inside of me, hey, that man, I want him to be my mentor. I want him to teach me because there's something about him. And I remember coming to Henry and saying, hey, will you mentor me? And right, yeah, sure, absolutely. I didn't know what that looked like, what that was going to entail, but we that began a journey. But what I thought I was asking for in a mentor, I received so much more. And I gained a father.
Come on.
And I began to experience what it meant like to be a son, a beloved son. And I believe even in the transition of accepting sonship, God says, hey, I have something even more, son. I'm going to place a mantle of fatherhood on you. And ultimately, that's what he does. God is about family.
Amen.
He's about family from the beginning. You can go to Genesis to Revelation. And in there, he's talking about his family. You know, and so that's what's Come impressed on, to me. Amen. And I believe that, you know, God is showing us, hey, let's be fathers to the lost Amen. Sons. Stop. We can even begin to change our thinking and say, I'm not going to look at people as a sinner anymore, because Jesus didn't.
Absolutely.
What did he say? Mm-hmm. Hey, your sins are forgiven. Oh, and just so that you know, be healed. And pick up
That's right.
your bed and walk. There was a first thing. Jesus is the first thing.
Amen.
That's you know? Right.
Come on.
So praise God.
Praise God, man. That's good. And I myself have gained son. Mm-hmm. And I, so got, you know, Tommy, there was a time when you had you'd asked me if I would represent that Grandfather's Day at and I, there's a lady that still says, so you're Zach's grandfather, huh? I sure am.
That's cool.
Yeah, and so he's my grandson.
Amen. You know, the image you just painted, I mean, that's exactly what happened during the Jesus movement, early 70s. I mean, it's the same anointing. It's the same thing that's happening right now. The churches, when they open, they're going to come again. And it's going to be that same picturesque moment, you know? You know, I love what Pastor Chuck Smith did when this first happened. They had a new church, new carpet, and his board told him, you know, if these people are going to come in, you're going to have to do one or two things. You're going to have to take the carpet out, or you're going to have to wash their feet before they come in, because they were barefoot, they were dirty. He goes,
beach bums.
I'll wash their feet.
Yeah.
And they went, well, okay, we'll just go ahead and... You got to open up. You got to have open arms to receive That's whom right. will come.
That's exactly right.
No matter what they're like.
That's exactly
Yeah, right. And I think a big part of it, I mean, an important thing that comes from that story, too, is that just seeing him, I mean, there is an excitement. You know, when we just see people that are, you know, have this question, this hunger, that type of thing, I mean, we should have, you know, excitement for them. We should be, because like if they just come to us and we're like, hey, what's up, you know, instead of, you know, really realizing like, hey, this person's seeking out God, that's an amazing, awesome thing, because, you know, they're about to have their life changed. And I mean, we should be excited about that. Tommy was saying with the looking at people as sinners. That sinner's aspect. You know, he wasn't looking at everything he had done. He just saw him as a person that was eager, to return. And, you know, that's how we have to look at people.
Come on.
We don't have to look at them in their sin. We have to look at them as, you know, God's creation. Give him respect.
Come on,
be excited about it. Love him.
Yeah.
In the parable of the coins, it's just like Gabe was saying, the coins had an image of the Roman emperor.
Yeah, that's right.
So... even though it was not in her possession, it was lost, the identity of it wasn't changed. It was still a coin. It still had value.
That's right.
Just like, so it's building on what you're saying is every person has value.
Absolutely.
And every person has the image of Christ.
That's exactly.
on them, because we were made in his image, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
And so we've in the church learned some things. We've learned a church lingo and language, and the sinners, and I'm a sinner saved by grace, and these catchphrases, you know, get out of your comfort zone. But what is the word saying? And look at the word as a son. Look at the word Absolutely. As a son, and let that be your lens, because once that coin was found, there was great rejoicing.
That's right.
Once yeah. that lost sheep was found. And I like how, I mean, Pastor Pat was saying earlier, he's like, fishers of men, fishers of men. He was just kind of just saying that. And Peter was a fisherman.
Yes.
He fished for fish. And his encounter with Christ was he was doing his profession and doing what he knew how to do, and he wasn't being successful at it.
That's right.
And Jesus said, hey, do it this way. and almost drowns multiple boats with fish.
That's right.
And then he spends this life with this these years with Jesus, and then he's disappointed at the end because Jesus is crucified, and he's, what do? He goes back to his profession that he was failing at when he met Jesus. And then there's Jesus again on, you know, cooking breakfast. So, hey, why don't you do it this way? And again, their boats are filled with fish. And then he has this discussion about sheep and lambs with Peter and restoration. There's a whole lot in this, but getting back to the value of people, ultimately, we're fish out there, and then we become lambs and sheep. But what is he? He's calling sons back to their place.
That's right.
Because sons inherit, like you were talking about. Right. They inherit the kingdom. They inherit the things that God has for us. That aren't just for us.
Come on.
It's for the whole world. For the whole world, because the earth is the Lord's and everything in it.
Amen. That's right. That's exactly.
And we're here to reclaim some of the things that have been forfeited, starting in Genesis.
Amen.
Sons have forfeited.
That's right.
Kings have forfeited. Jesus came back to say, it's time to be restored.
That's
it's time to reclaim that which has been forfeited, and I need sons to do that.
Amen.
Absolutely.
That's why we're here, man.
Praise God.
Yeah. And then also just the whole aspect of, like, you looked how the son, you know, pretty much dishonored his father. But and he had this long, like, script that he brought up in his head. And he's like, you know what? Okay, this is what I got to say. This is what I got to do. And then I'll be, I guess, kind of back in the right with him. And as soon as his dad saw him, before he even opened his mouth, he was excited. And, you know, he welcomed him back. And, you know, I think that's an example we should all follow, too, is, like, especially if somebody's wronged us or anything, is that we should be that forgiving person. It's like, you know, I'm just happy to see you.
Yeah,
you know, I'm just
absolutely
like, yeah, let's come over here. Don't worry about what you did. Forget about that. You know,
that's right.
I love you. Mm-hmm. You know, just
see, and that just goes to show you, a lot of times our expectations are just in our own head.
Yeah.
What God's not even thinking about that. God's not even saying that to you. And yet we're building this whole thing, you know. And so God is good, and he does love us, and he cares about us, and he's not willing, ready to let us go easily. He's not. Amen.
I think that Jesus is a good example to follow in that when he looked at people, he saw them in their glorified state. He saw the end result, and we can do that too when we look at people.
Absolutely.
You know, it's amazing when you talk to somebody like they're a brother and they're not. They receive from you more than they would have. I ain't kidding. I talk to people all the time that aren't saved, and I'll call them brother, and I'll use things that'll make them feel like we're one, and they open up. You know, the opportunity for ministry is so much more greater because I'm looking at him through the eyes of love. The end result, that God did die for him or her, whoever it may be. So that makes ministry so much easier when people are set to receive by the way you respond to them.
Yeah.
Oh, it's, you know, to me, it's like when Jesus was standing there and the guy comes running up to him and says, hey, good master. And he goes, there's only one that's good. And, you know, and this is Jesus talking, there's only one good, and that's the Father. And, you know, if we put it in our hearts to know that, you know, he's the good, and because his light shines in us, you know, everybody has that opportunity, right? So you get where I'm going is we should treat each other like that, you know, that we love each other, that nobody's better than each other. It takes the whole team, you know, to be part. And so I think, you know, for me, it's like when I see guys out there, and you know they're not in the right spot, but you have that desire to help them, right? And so to me, that's really where the gospel of that is us all knowing where we're at and who he is, and that's the important part, seeking him, I think.
Right.
They don't want to, Rachel says it better, but they don't care about what we know. They want to know how much we care.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And that's kind of the foundation of getting face to face with people. And my brother-in-law is a youth pastor in Texas, and we went to Disneyland a few years ago, and he's like this all the time, but I'm so impressed by, he'll strike up a conversation with somebody, hey, how you doing, and to see where they're at, and before you know it, he's praying with them. And it happens all the time.
Come on.
But he doesn't just start talking to them, say, oh, you need Jesus. He starts, oh, you like this too? Or he sees something and he gets to know this person real quick and builds a rapport. And I'm impressed because I'm not that way. I'm going to be selfish. I'm not so mad about the 6 feet and put on gloves and a mask and leave me alone. I'm just being honest, I mean, my personality, I think, has changed throughout the years, but there's this distancing normally that I'm kind of, okay, I'm cool to be okay alone. But God has placed his image in us, so there's something that he wants to come out, and it has to show a light. Doesn't matter if it's a big light or a little light, if it's in a dark place, you're going to see that light. God is good, inside of all of us.
It's a matter of stepping in. And just stepping in, knowing and being confident of who you are in Christ, and stepping in and allowing him to make that conversation. I was on an elevator with a guy that had two cups of coffee in this. And I say, bro, is that one for me? And he looked at me and gave me this look like, who are you, bro? And I said, hey, man, I just want it. And just being willing to step in and break that, we're in such a world that people, hey, don't talk to me, man. And we just need to be willing people and say, hey, man, we're not crazy. We're loving. We love folks, man. We want to step in. We want to help people, man. And so it's important that we show the glory of God in the earth. We are the glory.
Amen. The glory of the glory of the Lord will fill the earth.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
Amen.
I was kind of thinking about what it's going to look like when things kind of start opening up. And I know all these different businesses have different rules, different cities have different rules, and I also see kind of how some people are kind of reacting to that. And I think we need to make sure that when everything kind of opens up like it is right now, that we are being more, I guess, less looking towards what our rights are and more towards what's going to make somebody comfortable, what's going to show them that we care about them, how we love them.
That's exactly
That type of thing. Because, I'm not a huge fan of wearing masks, but how the CDC is recommending is saying so that we could protect others, right? So if somebody sees us without a mask on, how is it they're going to perceive that? Are they going to perceive that as we just don't care about the rule? I mean, what we could be doing, or are we caring about them? I just change depending on the situation. Is it okay if I'm here, mask on, off, whatever. If I see somebody wearing a mask, okay, I'll put a mask on. It happens around a lot at work because they kind of eased up the restrictions. So, if we're, just hanging around each other, but we have good distance, maybe we don't have to wear a mask. But there's some people that still choose to. So, I want to make sure that they feel comfortable. And, I don't want to come off as a person that thinks, well, I have all the right to, Because, I was kind of thinking in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial.
Wow.
I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive.
That's right.
No one should seek their own good, but the good of others.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen. I love that.
Good word.
It's not about rights. Thing is not about fear.
That's exactly right.
Exactly.
It's about honor.
Yeah.
Yes.
This whole thing, I respect what you guys have done. Say, hey, we're honoring what our leaders have put in place, the governors, the mayors, the president of the United States. like their policies or not. It's not about that. It's about honoring
That's right.
those that the Lord has placed
over us.
Over us. It's not about fear. It's not about our rights. And in a place of honor and submission, we can be seated. And that's what God... We can be seated and see the glory of the Lord do a work.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Hezekiah, you know, he was a good king for most of his life. A beloved king, actually, Jesus, you know, the word says. And he showed honor, but when the Assyrians went, when the enemy was coming against them, he said, I got this. I'm going to take care of this. And what did they do? He said, sit. And they went to sleep. And it says, and the next morning, when they woke up, so what does that mean? They were asleep, right?
That's right. Yeah.
You don't, it's hard to sleep when you don't have peace.
That's it.
But when they woke up, the angel of the Lord had killed 185,000 of the enemy army.
That's
he
right.
did it while they were asleep. He can do things when we are seated, when we're settled, and when we are at rest in Him.
That's
So He takes off this burden of I gotta work, I gotta work, I gotta work, I gotta work, and show myself worthy. He says, you know what? My son showed himself worthy, and he placed the righteousness on you and worthiness on you, and I accept you just like I accept
That's
him.
Right.
Jesus did not count it robbery to be counted equal to God.
That's right.
To be called his son. And he says that same, the way, like you were saying, the same way that I look at Jesus, God says, Abba is saying, I look at you.
Amen.
You're talking about this sin. You're talking about these things that you're not good at. I don't see that. I see who you are, who I Amen. Made you to be. Amen. So that honor is huge
Amen.
For me. And I believe God is showing me things about honor every day. I feel like I'll never get to the end. You know, but,
the Word of God tells us to honor all men. And it doesn't, all is all.
Yeah.
And no matter who you, and so it's important that we there is, there really is a humility in that, in honoring folks and taking the, I guess you with the compassion of Christ and allowing that to be distributed through you. Because God, He desires that we, you know, the church for a long time has been so condemning to the world, man. And it should never be that way. Anytime it happens, man, it's ugly to the body of Christ. It really is. And we should not be a condemning bunch. We should be a loving, compassionate group of people willing to help people that we might think that, you know, well, I'm so tired of this woman or whatever, you know, but yet the Lord died for that one just as He died for each and every one of us. So important.
I think sometimes the claiming of our rights gets demonstrated in defiance, you know, and I don't think that's the way God wants us to act. You know, yes, we do have rights, you know, and you know, when we get out there and we say, well, we're going to claim it, and it's not done in the right way. And so you see that even now as you have groups of people that are out there saying, open up the economy, open up the world. Then you have others that are saying, no, it's too soon, whatever.
Yeah.
You're always going to have the differences of opinion. And it's just kind of like with, as Tommy was saying, you know, we did what we needed to do in our church in honor of our leadership, government leadership, and yet other churches didn't. So my hope is that just as we listen to the Holy Spirit and His leading, and when and what we did was in honor of His guidance, I pray that those other churches that didn't do that wasn't in defiance, that it was the leading of the Holy Spirit for them. So in whatever way they chose it, I know that we did the right thing. And so we thank God that, you know, one thing I gotta put out there is that I don't know anybody in our church body that got this thing. So what does that say about us? I don't know anybody, any friends, any families that got touched by this thing. What does that say about us? And so who we are in Christ is we can claim everything that comes with it. We're protected. He is our refuge. And we move by the leading of His Spirit. And we can't go wrong with that.
Amen. That's a good one. Come on. You're talking about inheritances and passing things down to your children. And I was just thinking, well, I think Tommy was talking about the inheritance and father. And I was Friday night. I was talking to my granddaughter, and I was telling her, I said, hey, Mija, you know, we used to play a thing called Kick the Can, and we would play, and she goes, tell me, she wanted to know all about it. So here it is getting, it's still light, and I said, well, it has to be done when you're done. Well, when it got dark, she said, let's go play. And my son tells me, Dad, you opened it, man. So I had my whole family out there on the back porch, and we were playing Kick the Can. Running all over like a bunch of crazy people, man. I was the one running the can, and I just couldn't kick. I just couldn't. I mean, I couldn't run back fast enough, man. It's just, but I was running, Tommy. I was, man. But I know just by the talk and the conversation, that was something those kids are going to do again and again and again and again. It was an inheritance given, and it didn't recognize it like until this morning I was preaching and when I was hearing that it was an inheritance passed down. And we are here to pass these things down. What God has given you, it's so wonderful, man. How could you not want to pass it down, you know, pass it over, pass it across the street, whatever, man. So praise God, man. Step into that person's life. Praise God.
So is there anybody who want to close in prayer?
I'll pray.
Oh, the prayer pastor.
Right, another prayer. Come on.
Father God, we are so honored, Lord, that you have chosen this group of men, Lord, to speak this day, Lord. Lord, that we would take your word forth, Lord, and that we don't know, Lord, who will be listening to what has come forth today, Lord. But we do know that anything that we've said, Lord, to glorify you will just benefit all those, Lord, that hath laid ear to that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, that you are bringing us to a place, Lord, that we will one day meet. But thank you, Lord, for that time that we have spent just listening to that small, quiet voice, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, that all this time, Lord, you were guiding us, Lord, and this is what your desire was for your church, Lord.
Yes, Lord, seek.
That we should seek your face, Lord. Yes. That we should seek your heart, Lord. And that, Lord, when the time is right, Lord, that we could be able to get back together again, Lord.
Yes.
But this was your will, Lord. Thank you that we followed where you led us, Lord. I bless everyone that is listening to this podcast. We thank you that, Lord, that you reach through the airwaves, Lord, and that your Holy Spirit is where we are. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. All right. Hey, and don't forget that we're doing a soft start on May 31st. We're going to come back and start moving forward again. Amen.
Praise God. Amen.
Praise God.
This
is it.
That's it.
Oh, I don't have anything.
I got nothing.
Got nothing. We're just going to have to end it all sad. All right, well, you know.
We got
nothing. We got a soft opening.
Yeah, we got a soft opening.
Yeah, that's good.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.